comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all the people shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are grass. Their constancy is like the flower of the field. The grass withers. The flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers. The flower fades. But the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain. O Zion, herald of good tidings, lift up your voice with strength. O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings, lift it up, do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead the mother sheep. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Comfort. Comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly, tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard work has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Comfort. Comfort my people, says your God. Do any of you know what this past Thursday was? This past Thursday was World AIDS Awareness Day. Some of us participated in that remembrance. It was a day that the world gathered to remember those who have died of AIDS or been impacted by the AIDS epidemic. I have to tell you, 25 years ago, I came kind of face to face with what was to become an epidemic, but I didn't know it. 25 years ago was when the AIDS epidemic brought a face into my office. I was a young mother of three. It was the early 1980s. This young mother had recently learned that she had AIDS. She was terrified to tell anyone in her family what was happening to her. She was scared to go to her pastor. She was scared to tell her neighbors. Her husband had died of AIDS, but nobody knew. Not even his parents. Only she and the doctors. She felt alone. She was scared for her life. But even more than being frightened for her life, she was scared of what would happen to her children if anyone knew that she had AIDS. That their dad had died of AIDS. She felt she could come to me. She knew of me through some other clients. She knew I was a pastor, a pastoral counselor. But she felt she could come with me because of the ethics involved in my profession, which stated confidentiality. Before she began to talk with me, we went over and over and over about, now you're not going to tell anybody my name and what I'm dealing with. And it's like, no, this is a safe place. We went over it so many times, I said to her, if I tell anyone ever your name, you can sue me. She wouldn't get a lot, but she didn't know that. But I wanted her to know it was a confidential place. And 25 years ago, she absolutely had to have that kind of confidentiality. And I remember how saddened I was for her and for her family, and how grateful I was that she came. I'm not a doctor. She didn't come for a medical cure. She came for comfort. And she needed comfort. This past Thursday, this World Awareness Day for AIDS, I also thought of a little child at St. Jude's, where my husband later worked as a chaplain. And the fear of his family as he died, that others in their community would know when, in a rush to judgment, condemned their precious little child who died of AIDS. Through the years, Jim and I and many others who are clergy and in the medical world have worked with persons like this mother and the family of this little child who desperately needed compassion and comfort. 25 years ago, there was an epidemic of terror that surrounded a person who had AIDS. People were afraid of being branded as degenerates or treated like lepers, and so they suffered in silence and unmerited shame, and comfort seemed unavailable. Comfort. Comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly and proclaim to them. In our scripture this morning, what's striking in this Isaiah 40 passage is not that there are people in need of comfort. There always have been, there always will be. But to me, as I read the scripture this week, it's the commandment of God. The commandment, not just an idle suggestion, the commandment to comfort. God commands that people are comforted. And as you read that scripture, and if you really get into it and pull it apart, the very beginning of the scripture, we know it's a command, in part because of how it begins. Comfort. Comfort my people. You know, when I want my little puggle to really pay attention to me, I don't say it just once. It's like, Gandhi, stop. Stop. If we want our children to really understand something, sometimes we say it maybe more than twice, but it's like, be still. Be still. God speaks. Comfort. Comfort my people. Now, the people of Jerusalem are not deserving the comfort, not according to what we know of their lifestyle and their behavior. But that's not what God argues. Rather, he insists, he commands that they be comforted. Now, that sounds like a simple thing to do, doesn't it? We don't need degrees to be able to comfort people. We don't need to understand all of their situation to be able to comfort. Everyone here in this room, every one of us, gets hurt at one time or another. And therefore, every person in this room needs comfort at one time or another. No matter how young you are or old, no matter how rich or poor, how important you are or think you are or are not. The fact is, what is common to all of us is that in our lifetimes, we need comfort. Comfort. Comfort my people. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Life begins and ends with comfort, does it not? A newborn baby comes into the world, this tiny little child startled by lights, by noises, by life. No matter how they're eagerly or not anticipated into the world, that little newborn baby cries out, and it is then comforted, cuddled, swaddled by attending nurses, by parents if we're there, trying to calm the child down. And our life flies by, and we get to the other end of our life spectrum. That little baby becomes a dying grandma or grandpa. And at that point, that elderly baby needs to be comforted as he or she prepares to die. Life begins and life ends with comfort. And every day and every month and year in between, human beings are designed in ways that need to be comforted and to give comfort to others. In my own life, even in this past year, there are times, many times, when I've needed comforting. I can think of two times in this past year when things just welled up inside of me and the pain seemed pretty great, and I wept like a baby. Fortunately, each time there was someone present for me. Not with great words of advice, not with a dialogue of what I needed to do or not do, rather just to be with me, touching my shoulder and saying, "It's okay, it'll get better." So this morning, I ask you, comfort this common denominator for us as humanity. Do we not all need comfort? And yet, like the mother and the family living with AIDS some years ago, for some of us it may absolutely seem like a miracle if we receive comfort. So I want to ask you a question. What to you is the miracle of comfort? I posed that question, as I am known to do periodically, on Facebook and got some wonderful responses. You never let me down. And I want to share them with you. I'm not going to share names, but I want you to hear what those in our midst wrote to me responding about the miracle of comfort. One person wrote, "Even your asking that question gives me comfort. Words do create reality, as does a touch, a look, a prayer. Miracles all." Another person wrote to me, and he said, "You asked about comfort. Comfort at times come in the form of a miracle. They truly do. When you are at the bottom of a well, and a friend lowers the bucket to pull you out." A mother in our midst who's had a child with many physical needs wrote, "Comfort can be the familiar feel and smell of a small pink blanket or its mommy to a scared little baby unable to see through swollen eyes. We all find comfort in our own ways." Another member among us wrote, "The silence as you sit with a loved one in pain, knowing that you don't have anything to say, but that just being there is comfort enough to all of you." Another member, he wrote, love this, "To me, the sweetness and beauty and miracle of comfort brings a peace that passes all that I can imagine. It's sitting amid the chaos of life, wondering how it can all turn out okay, And then having a knowing pass over me and come to rest in my soul that simply says, it's okay. It'll be okay. I'm loved. I'm cared for. I'll be okay. And for now, right at this moment, there's nothing more I need to know than that. For me, that's a miracle of comfort. Comfort. There is a need in us to be able to experience peace in the midst of difficult times, of fearful times of anxiety and pain and loss and grief. Hear these words. Another among us wrote to me, I have thought about this question ever since I saw it posted this afternoon on Facebook. To me, comfort is being anywhere content with my family, whom I love. As far as I know, they love me back. This feeling of comfort is temporary because we know loved ones eventually die, and so will we. Fortunately, as Christians, we believe that our spirits go to heaven. This is where I think the miracle of comfort comes into play, because although we grieve the loss of our loved one, we can be comforted by the fact that we will indeed eventually be reunited with them in the kingdom of heaven, a place that is free of pain and suffering. Now that is a miracle and comforting. God is good. God is good. God is comforter. God stands beside us and listens to us, to our complaints in the middle of the night. God stands beside us at the bedside of a sick one, at the graveside, at days that follow loss and death and confusion, at the day that will follow today. And listening to our quiet rage and frustration and despair, God speaks softly and says, I am with you. I will be with you. The Greek word for comforter in our scriptures is parakletos. Parakletos, that's a tongue twister to say. I like comforter better. Parakletos. Parakletos goes a little bit further in its meaning than only comfort for the moment. There's an action involved, because one who comforts, does parakletos, pleads another's cause as an advocate, an intercessor, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. We have some very wise members of our congregation who shared with me this week on Facebook. One of them wrote about this aspect of the Comforter. She writes, Jesus promised to send us the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, when he was telling about leaving his disciples. I find lots of comforts, she writes, in Scripture with passages like, I will be with you always. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Where two or more are gathered in my name, I will be there also. Over and over and over, Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, remind us that we are always in our Lord's presence, always in his heart, always in his mind. What joy it is to live knowing God is so close. We have nothing to fear, for Jesus is near. Now, sometimes we don't recognize him, especially when he sends another person to comfort us during our time of need. So we may need to be aware of God's comfort coming to us in so many creative ways. And she's right. The Holy Spirit leads us to a deeper knowledge of gospel truth and gives us divine strength that we need to enable us to undergo trials and tribulations and persecutions. It doesn't matter if they're of our own making or not. We need that comfort. The Holy Spirit enables us to offer comfort to others as well. Which kind of brings me back to where I started in the beginning of this sermon. 25 years ago, As I remember 25 years ago and the fear that engulfed so many at that time in our history, that just seemed to engulf them in this rush to judgment. It was a time that precluded most attempts at comfort. You know, I didn't then, and I don't now, like controversy. My stomach kind of churns when people are upset. It is hard, hard to watch people with strong opinions going at each other. But I've learned that there are times when it is important to take stands. It's times when we recognize what our scripture teaches us, commands us. Comfort. Comfort ye my people. I recently heard a speaker, David Logan, talk about leadership. And in his talk, he had a phrase that just captured me, and it said, "As people see the world, so they behave." As people see the world, so they behave. When my client died, and she did die, she became one of the early victims of the AIDS disease. And the people in her world behaved as they saw the world. Some years later, I was a mother. And I remember taking my daughter and my son to Rhodes College in Memphis, Tennessee, to sign a section of the AIDS quilt. Now, kids, you probably don't even know about the AIDS quilt. But there were big sections, huge quilt. And finally, it took up the whole area of the mall in Washington, D.C. But at that time, sections of the AIDS quilt would go around, and different people had a square of the AIDS quilt that fashioned this larger quilt. And I took my children, who were 6 and 3 years of age at the time, to sign the AIDS quilt. We signed a square of another one of my clients who had died. And I thought about this gentlewoman who came into my office with such fear and such need. And I took my marker and I traced Jess's hand on the quilt. And I took my son, who at 3 was in a stroller because he would run havoc all over that area, and took him out of the stroller, and he was very good. And I traced his hand on it. And then Jess signed her name, I signed my name, and Zach scribbled something. How I wish the mother of those 3 children could have had her children sign a quilt square in her honor and in her memory. I don't know to this day if they know. Part of where this got home to me this last week was my son, who's now 22, had major responsibility for World AIDS Awareness Day vigil in Boston. He's a part of an art installation and a 24-hour vigil. And through those 24 hours, we periodically made connection with each other through the miracle of texting. And in the 23rd hour, we talked, and he said, "You know, Mom, I may not be able to completely remember signing that quilt." He was 3. He's heard about it. He said, "I may not be able to completely remember that act, but something got imprinted on my heart." I'm going to tell you what it was: the ability and permission to offer compassion and comfort. That's what God imprinted. Comfort, comfort you, my people. says your God. As people see the world, so they behave. As we teach our children, so they will have permission to receive and to give comfort. Jesus came that we may share comfort and find peace. Hear these words and take them to your soul. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to the Jerusalems of your life and proclaim to them that their hard service has been completed and their sins have been paid for, for they have received from the Lord's hand double for all their sin. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.